You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, January 12th, episode 3860, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You made it to another week of Horses in the Morning. Yes, Jamie and Glenn are back. Because let's be honest, what else would they do? But then again, you're back too. So, well, enjoy the show.
Well, that's like right. We have a fun show planned for you today. In our Where Are They Now segment, our guest is someone who's been joining the show for over 15 years, and that's Popcorn's dad, Frankie Lovato, is going to join us today. What does AI think of our show? We're going to find that out. We have some thoughts on relationships, and this is a segment I'm actually kind of excited about. It's a follow-up to last Monday's Horse Husband segment, and you haven't heard this yet, so I'm interested to hear your comment on it. And then we have your question for World Problems. Did we have any this month?
Oh, God, people, poor people. These poor people that listen.
They have problems. So sad. We don't have a post show today because Jamie has some farriers and things coming immediately after the show. This show will probably run a little long anyway, so you'll get your money's worth.
You
got that one. So one of my podcasting guru friends said to ask AI what they think of your show, and to word it this way, what do you think of Horses in the Morning? Because that's not asking to tell about it, it's what the AI thinks about it. Because remember, most of your searches on Google now are AI-driven. They're not SEO anymore and all of that. It's AI that determines your results. So I thought, well, let's see what, because AI didn't really get us right a year or two ago. So I asked Gemini that question. What do you think of Horses in the Morning? Oh my God, Jamie. You're going to love this first sentence. Horses in the Morning is a titan in the niche world of equestrian media.
Yeah, baby. Titans.
We need a t-shirt. It's essentially the morning drive time radio of the horse world. Well, that's true. And it has an incredibly loyal following, often referred to as auditors. That's true. If you're thinking of diving in, here's a breakdown of what makes it unique. You want to hear why we're unique?
Quickly. This is too much me.
Lighthearted and social. It's not a dry academic lecture. Well, that's for damn sure. It feels like hanging out at the barn with friends. They lean heavily into humor, personal anecdotes, and community interaction. All true, right? All true. Mm-hmm. Now, it also did a segment on Is It For You? So apparently this is what you get if you ask about a podcast. One of the segments was, is it for you? So it says, listen if you spend a lot of time commuting or at the barn and want something that makes you feel connected to the wider horse community. It's great if you enjoy a mix of education and equestrian lifestyle content. Okay, now it says, skip if you prefer highly structured, purely technical training advice without any chatter. The hosts have big personalities and do spend some time on banter, which some people love and others find distracting. So,
yeah, you're listening to the wrong show.
We would be the distracting people over here. So, I mean,
sorry, guys.
I wasn't disappointed with the things that came up with because I thought, you know, somebody reading that, it's an honest review of our show. It really is. So there you go.
I remember when I was in Arizona, I had my coach on and she was like, maybe came on 30 minutes in just to talk about something. And we had already done 30 minutes. And when I got back to the barn and that all her clients had listened to it, they were all like, you talk too much. What? And why did you take so long to get to her? I was like, the show's not about her.
Some shows are all, I get why people think that, because you listen to podcasts that it's all about the guests. So they do 1 minute introduction, then they're into the guest, right? And it's an hour with the guest.
I don't listen to those. No. I like stuff like ours.
Yeah, me too. I tend to go with the more variety shows. So, yeah. Or, and also, they're listening partly because they want to hear our opinions on things too, or they wouldn't be listening. So
I doubt that. They want to do the opposite of our opinion. Let's go with that. Right. What do they say? Okay, do the opposite.
Well, let's continue with our, what did they call it? Our distracting nonsense. Let's continue with that with daily winnings. So,
I don't think they said nonsense. Yeah, maybe they did.
I added that. Well, happy birthday to auditors Kathy White and Lorene Barden. It's Lorene's birthday as well. And also host Reese Koffler-Stanfield of The Dressage Show, our good friend. Happy birthday to all of you. And apparently, I don't know if she doesn't have her birthday on Facebook or I just missed it, but Rachel Rosenthal, happy birthday to you. I apologize. I don't know if she got caught in the holidays. I don't know, but she called me out. So happy birthday.
Yeah, she called you out.
Happy birthday, Rachel.
Well, I have some news. Do you remember Miami Moonlight?
Okay, which one is that? You've had 1,000 horses.
We call him Roy because he's like grumpy Roy Kent. So Miami Moonlight is a horse that I was at Remington and I saw him in a $5,000 claimer. Oh, and right. I remember looking at him. I'm like, that guy needs to not be here anymore. So I ended up contacting the trainer, got them to donate him to Horse and Hound. And a week later, he arrives at my door, which was just the coolest thing ever. And I gave him like 6 weeks off and then started him back. And he is the most lovely horse that I have. I mean, he's one of the top 10 of all 200 I've trained, like just awesome. And it's really been a struggle for me to figure out what to do with him. Do I have him adopted? Do I keep him? I really didn't know what to do. And I finally was like, you know what? I've got to get him adopted because if I adopt him out, then I can save another one and go get another one, you know, and retrain it and get it adopted. And so I kind of stuck with that. And over the weekend, somebody came out to look at him and called me yesterday and they're like, we're gonna adopt him. Oh my god, I almost threw up. I made the wrong decision. I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't have done that. I should have kept him. I'm so bummed at myself. She was like, the only thing is he doesn't have a lot of personality. I'm like, we can find you another one. It'll be fun. When they got here to look at him, I was like, I felt like I was showing off one of my children. Like it's not my horse. He belongs to the rescue. And I've done this so many times. And this one has just made me sick. So I told her, I was like, okay. And she's going to leave him here for a month. So I get to train him for another month.
Oh, so you have two heartbreaks, one now and one then.
I'm so sad. Like I should, why did I do that?
Let me just clarify. This is no reflection on her. This is just you at this point, right?
No, she's lovely. If she wasn't lovely, I would have been like, you need to go home. Of course. Like she's lovely and she's going to live. He's going to live in Arkansas at her house. And he's going to just like be a pleasure horse and do some like hunter jumper stuff. Yeah. It's perfect, but I don't want him to go. I'm so sad. I got up to the house and Chad's like, how'd it go? And I'm like, I think I'm gonna throw up. I did the wrong thing. I should, but they drove here from Arkansas and I was gonna be like, never mind, drive 5 hours back home. Oh, so anyway,
poor Lucas, when he announces he's going to college and gonna leave home.
Oh dear God. He's never leaving. He's never leaving. I mean, I'm happy that he's going to have an awesome home and he would have gone to nowhere else besides an awesome home. And I did say like at any time, if you don't want him anymore, I will take him back in 5 seconds. And like, so it's going to be really hard. I don't get like this, you know?
When I met Jennifer, she was doing the same thing you were, right? She was training horses up to levels and then she would get them to people who could actually afford to take them to the higher levels. And there are some horses that you're okay with. It's a nice horse, right? It's fine. There are some horses that are total jerks that you're happy to see go. And then the ones like that, hers was Sally Allen, that ended up going to advanced level in eventing. But that horse, I love that horse. She loved that horse. But, you know, we loved, what was it, $40,000 in those days was a lot of money.
So you love eating.
We loved food. Eating too. Exactly. Exactly. And her point was, I can't afford to take that horse to those levels. So I'm doing a disservice to the horse. Yeah. And, you know, she was right. I didn't understand it. I was a new horse husband then. I didn't get that. You know, I just saw her doing great things with this horse and thought you should keep doing great things. I didn't understand what it costs to do it at those levels.
Yeah.
And time and money, not just money, but both.
Yeah. But yeah, I everybody has their struggles and it is definitely a tough one. And so at least he gets to stay here another month, and I'm going to, if I do this again and I feel this way again, I'm not going to let it go. You know, I'm just,
or
I can't.
Hold on just for a little longer. You might, 6 months later, you might change your mind, right? But
yeah. You know, yeah, this is so stupid. I did the wrong
But thing. Then there's another horse that's going to come in that if you hadn't trained them, where would they be?
Well, I started the new guy, Apollo, yesterday, and he's the one I got from a situation in Western Kentucky. And oh, he's been here about a month. And I did tell you guys that the guy on the phone did tell me, remember, he didn't speak great English, that he was like, I saw him chew wood once. And I was like, what? Wait, what? I saw him chew wood once. I go, did he suck air? No. This dude cribs like, I mean, seriously, I just got a new cribbing strap and I hopefully it's going to, I've never had to keep a cribbing strap on anybody. So maybe it'll wean off once he's in the big pasture.
This is your first time having to deal with that.
Man, I did not like, to be fair, I still would have taken him. I'd have been like, fine, it's fine, I don't care. But the fact that I was like, what? You are so sneaky. But it's fine. Everything's fine.
And there's a lot of people don't believe in cribbing straps, but we used the one on the one horse we had. It was like this one, you know, it just didn't stop. It was 24 hours a day. And it's not good for the horse either, you know, so.
It's not good for their teeth. You know. It's not good for your fencing. It's not good for, none of it's good. Like, he acts like, you know, like a man who's been smoking his whole life and like needs a hit.
Yes. And that's true. That's exactly
but
what
I'm hoping like. It's going to get less as he gets turned out into the big field and gets a little more comfortable. So anyway, there's your distracting the banter update. That people okay. hate.
Yeah, there it is. So we'll get off of that because, you know, we don't like to talk about ourselves at all. And well, let's talk about worm flooring and then we'll head on over to Frankie Lovato.
Okay. Are you still wrestling with heavy, smelly rubber mats every time you want to clean your trailer? We've all been there and it's a backbreaking chore that most of us put off for way too long because it sucks. That was, I added that. That's why no, you need sucks. To check out wormflooring.com. That's W-E-R-M flooring.com. It stands for We Eliminate Rubber Mats. And that's exactly what they do. Their permanent pour-in-place flooring system creates 100% liquid tight seal that bonds directly to your trailer floor or your barn floor, as I love it so much. Put it in my barn. No more urine or debris seeping underneath. No more corrosion and absolutely no more heavy lifting. Hey, when they do pour it in your trailer, side note, I thought, well, it's just going to go to the corner and like go under, you know, like whatever. No, they actually put it and then they put like a lip upwards in your trailer. Oh, so it doesn't.
Pee doesn't get on creep around the edge.
Yeah. So yeah. It doesn't go. Cause I was like that. It just, it's just going to go under it. No, it's not. They thought about that. Worm is all about your horse's comfort. It's a 1/2-inch cushion surface. It reduces road noise and vibration, providing a slip resistant ride that keeps your animals calm and secure. Whether it's a horse trailer, wash rack, vet clinic, barn aisle, they offer a seamless, durable solution that's easy to power wash and built to last a lifetime. I just blow one out. Done. Visit wormflooring.com today to find an authorized dealer and protect your investment with the floor your horses deserve. Wormflooring.com.
Join us as we chat with past guests to find out, where are they now?
Now, one of our favorite guests from the past in our Where Are They Now segment. I met him for the first time in 2009 at the New Media Meetup. It's a media event I used to run in the old days at the Kentucky Horse Park. He first appeared on the Stable Scoop Show in 2009, and his first appearance on Horses in the Morning was 2011. He has helped us cover many Kentucky Derbies and Breeders' Cups, and, you know, he kind of won 5,000 races as a jockey. More importantly, he's Popcorn's dad, Frankie Lovato. Hey, Frankie!
Frankie!
Yes, that's probably the most... Hi, you guys. Thank you so much for having me. And 5,000, if you're going to exaggerate, you might as well say 10,000, so...
you know what? I'm trying to do all I can here, Frankie. I'm doing all I can. But
I appreciate it.
It is a fact that you've been coming on our show for 15 years. So
yeah, when you said 2009, I was like doing the math, and I'm like, wait a minute. Wow.
And we,
it's flying.
We had this new media meetup, Jamie, at the Kentucky Horse Park like 3 years in a row. And I forget who invited Frankie, but it was an invitation only. And somebody said, well, you have to have Frankie. And was it?
You know, I'm thinking, going back then, we were very close with Templeton Thompson.
Oh, that's...
And then we were also very close with Steve Lampitt and his wife, Jennifer. And that's how we all... I can't remember exactly who it was that encouraged me to get involved. But yeah, that was the inaugural meeting that you had there at the Kentucky Horse Park. And the middle of winter. First time
I rode an equisizer. Where he brought one along for that meeting, and that was the first time. And look, we've been friends ever since, so that's great.
That's right.
Frankie Popcorn, yeah. You came on in 2011, told us about your little pony Popcorn, and I know longtime listeners will remember Popcorn. Where's Popcorn these days?
Well, you know, it's you ever hear when those stories when an animal like passes and they tell the kids that he's in the farm upstate?
Yeah.
Popcorn is in a farm upstate. However, he's alive and well. He's alive. He's literally in a farm upstate. I had a friend of ours that has a dear friend that has ponies and trains a bunch of kids and it was upstate New York, and we thought, well, let's send him there, give him a job, let him be a pony and be with other ponies and a bunch of kids. And I'll let my grandkids get a little bit bigger and, you know, and give me a break. And so he ended up at this farm, literally upstate New York. And so that was the joke. He's in a farm upstate. And a couple of years went by and like, you know, he's doing good there. And he, even with all the work that they're doing with him, he's still a bit of a handful. So we're like, yeah, maybe he's better off. He's better off there for now. So that's where he is.
Well, I'm glad to hear Popcorn's alive and well and playing with his buddies at the farm. That's good. Yeah. I met Popcorn, actually, Jamie, on the road show 5 years ago now.
Well, Scooter needs to go to a farm upstate. So, I mean, they might be together.
With his allergies and bug and skin issues, actually, the vet said, you might have to send him somewhere north for the summer. So we'll see. We'll see. Frankie, you know, we've talked a lot about racing and a lot about equisizers and about a lot of things over the years. But one thing we never really talked to you about was your dad. And I had forgotten that he was a jockey.
Yes. My dad, you know, like my career, I'm retired from racing 20 years. So my dad's been retired for nearly 40 years, basically. But my dad started in the late 50s. He rode when he was an apprentice, he rode for the DuPonts, the Foxcatcher farm. He won some major races throughout his career. He was based. He did some riding in New York. In fact, he won the Hopeful Stakes as an apprentice jockey in Saratoga when he was just a kid. But he spent most of his career in the Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey racing circuit. And I was actually born in Maryland when he was racing in that circuit. So he's been a leading jockey, won some major stakes events throughout his career. It was quite successful. And then I started just at the tail of his career. We actually rode a few races together here.
Is
and
that
there,
right?
Which I didn't care for. I don't like competing against my dad.
Who won?
But yeah,
by the way,
I did. I was on a much better horse though. that's where it was. I'll tell you a story at Belmont Park. As a matter of fact, it was one of the first times we rode together, and he was on the lead, and this is when I was an apprentice, and I was a leading apprentice of the nation at the time, and I had a lot of nice horses to ride, and he was on a long shot, and I came alongside him at the top of the stretch, and I just felt terrible because, I mean, all I had to do is smooch at my horse and pass him like he was standing still, and you know, I mean, I was only like 17 at the time, and it's just like, oh man, I got to beat my dad.
Were you invited to Christmas that year, Frankie?
No.
So did you, what was the end there?
Well, I won the race, but the thing is he couldn't have been more prouder of me, you know, and my success and stuff. And so it was just a fun moment. And then there was another race that we were riding together. He was actually on a better horse than I was, you know, as far as odds go, you know, his chances of winning were better than mine. And so I was behind him. And he was in a bind, like a bit of horse traffic where it gets quite dangerous. And he was being squeezed pretty hard from another horse on the outside. And I'm behind him. And I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this. Because I don't want to run him over if he goes, if he takes a fall, you know. And so, yeah, I don't know how. I know that there's jockeys that have also ridden against their father or mother, or even in some cases, there's been some jockeys that ride against their spouse where there's been husband and wife. And I just couldn't imagine.
So what happened with your dad in the traffic? Did you just go around? Did you save him? What did you do?
Oh no, there's nothing I could do. It just had to play out until things got a little less tense, and then he was fine. It happened like, in horse racing as a jockey, you know, when you're behind a field of horses, there's things going on in front of you have no control over. And there's always a lot of close calls. It's very dangerous. And it was just like, I don't want my dad in front of me.
Was there a lot of media coverage being that it was a father-son thing, or not as much?
There was, you know, quite a bit back in that time. The first race we rode together was up in Saratoga, and he was already he was partially, like, he wasn't quite as active as he was throughout his career. He was like towards the end of his career, so he wasn't riding a ton of races, and I was at the time. So there was a lot of photographs and some press on it, and father son and my dad raced, and his racing name was Frank Lovato. There wasn't no senior on it. And mine was Frank Lovato Jr. Just so there wasn't any confusion that there was two of us, but he took on the name then Frank Lovato Sr. Even though, I gotta tell you a story. I'm not really a junior.
What?
My birth name is Sean, but I wanted to race God, under my father's name.
We've talked
name.
To you for all 20 years, and we're just learning that it's not even your real name.
Oh, my God. Right. We're such jerks, Glenn. We've been calling him the wrong name the whole time.
Only my siblings and my parents call me Sean, generally.
Oh, my gosh. So why'd you do that?
I did it because I wanted to race under my dad's name. And growing up, like, all the time I spent from the time I was just a little kid at the racetrack, nobody would accept my name as Sean. Like, they wouldn't remember it, or they just kept calling me Little Frankie. I was Little Frankie pretty much my whole life, other than going to school and my friends and my family, you know. But the racetrack, they just called me Little Frankie. So I was concerned on two levels. One is if I started to race under Sean, nobody would remember me from the time I was a little kid from the racetrack, and then also that I had the pride of my father, and I wanted to carry the name on. So I thought that's
so cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I became Frank Lovato Jr.
So do we call you? What did your wife call you?
She called me Sean.
Oh my God!
Did she really? I never heard that.
But Glenn,
this whole time.
but you guys, she would call me Frankie in front of you guys.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah,
she
I know. Yeah. Oh my!
Well, she called him a few other things, but that was in private too. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my!
But yeah,
gosh.
In regular conversation around that. I know.
We're learning all kinds of new things about our past guests this year. Frankie, I'm gotta
imposter.
Ask you.
What can I say?
You know, a lot of dads don't want their kids to follow in their footsteps because they think it's too dangerous, or, you know, it's not something that there's no money in it, or whatever. Obviously, your dad was just the opposite. Did he want you to, or were you just going to do it whether he wanted you or not?
That's basically I was obsessed with the idea, and my mother tried to talk me out of it, She didn't want me to be, because it is, it's very dangerous, and it's not a glorious life, really. It's demanding and it's dangerous, and there's all kinds of reasons why it looks appealing initially from the outside and stuff. But my dad was not one way or the other. He just kind of let it be. But my mother did not want me to be a jockey. And I could tell you now, with my own children and grandchildren, I would never want them to be a jockey. I'm so glad they didn't care. They really had no interest in it at all. So I feel like I dodged a bullet there. With that being said, nobody could have talked me out of it. And, you know, even what I know now, had I known then, however that saying goes, there was nothing that was going to stop me. I was going to be a jockey, you know, no matter what. Nobody could have changed my mind. And I worked hard for
it. You've had a good career all the way through, even after being a jockey. It was because you were a jockey you developed the equisizer and had a second career. I mean, it really has been your whole life.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then I started, even after I retired, because I had a passion to help educate kids and fans, I started my own little nonprofit called Jockey World, and I did a bunch of educational media and events and things that were trying, you know, like getting into horse racing. There's not like a clear path, especially here in the United States. Like, most people have to climb the fence or do something, you know, like it to get their foot in the door, and that door could be not a good door. So I always had a passion to try to offer guidance and safety and knowledge to help our youth that want to get into horse racing to avoid some unnecessary, maybe not so pretty things that could happen in any part of the horse industry.
Jamie, do you remember, this was way back, I mean, this is over 10 years ago, Frankie did a whole bunch of videos on racing terminology, and we used to play them occasionally on the show because they were things we didn't understand. Like, handicapping was one that I remember playing because we were just totally lost on what handicapping really is. But do you remember that? That I remember those videos.
I do. Yeah. I think we should resubmit some questions to him because, Frankie, I've been, to be honest, getting my butt kicked at the track at Remington this whole season. So I need a little bit of help.
Where do you think racing is right now?
You know, it's in a very, very weird place.
Okay.
And honestly, I haven't been in the middle of it. You know, I'm on the outside looking in, but it's challenging. Horse racing is a very challenging place right now. The smaller tracks, they've struggled. Some of them have closed down completely unless they had the help of the casino type situation where they can supplement, you know, funds that help keep the racing portion of it.
And, you know, Frankie, going here in Florida, they're talking about decoupling gambling from the racetracks, and they already said those two, Gulfstream and the other Tampa track, will go away. They'll be gone.
Yeah, and it's really sad, not only for the historic purposes. These are beautiful tracks. And yeah, it's just, there's so many sports out there nowadays, and there's so much. Well, and there's the gambling aspect. There's options that people can get. You know, they people want to bet their money.
Yeah, they don't have to go to Las Vegas just to gamble anymore.
Yeah, that horse racing. You know, it's just one of a thousand ways that people can enjoy sports, where years ago it was one of few. You know, and so it's. I mean, I hope it. I hope it hangs in there. But it's challenging. It's a very challenging time for horse racing.
So what's in the future for you? I know what age you are because we're about the same. What's are you gonna just keep making exercisers? What's up?
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, I'm still making as many exercisers as I can. We have been back ordered for years now, but I mean, I'm not back ordered for years, but the consistency of orders and flow, I average between 4 and 6 months back ordered. The demand is still there. It's growing. I do hope to expand the business, Glenn. I need to. I'm 63, the same age as you.
Yep.
And I need to, I can't build horses forever, but I love it. I love my job. I love my customers and the stories. It's such a beautiful thing, but I do need to make a bigger effort.
You need an apprentice.
I'm working on that.
Good. You know, Jamie, when I visited Frankie at his shop, I mean, he makes, they're beautiful creations, as everybody knows if you've seen pictures of them, and he makes them all himself. He moves all that heavy lumber around. I mean, they aren't light. And I told you then, I said, Frankie, you know, our backs are going to give out at some point. You need to get help in here. Do you realize you won the Eclipse Award for Apprentice Jockey the year I graduated high school, 1980. So you would have been graduating high school that year too.
Yes. Well, I would have graduated in 81.
Okay. So you were not even graduated high school and you won Apprentice Jockey.
Yes. I actually started riding professionally at 16. So it was the year that I was 16 and 17, 79 and 80, that was a really big year for me. And then I got the award that campaigning that entire year of 1980. So yeah, I was 17 at the time. I got a GED, so you got to get the walk up on stage and grab your diploma and I got a thing in the mail.
Yeah, look where I am, Frankie. I mean, that's really helped. You won an Eclipse Award at the same age I was getting a high school diploma. I think you win.
I got through the ninth grade, but I did get a GED in the mail, so that was nice.
Yeah, there you go. You were making more money than most of us at 17, let me tell you.
I have to say at the time, yes.
I don't know what you were making, Jamie, but I was making about $250 an hour. So
you guys made money? What?
Yeah.
Frankie, thank you so much for joining us again. Give everybody the website. Oh, and you're participating in a new podcast that's out there. Give a quick plug for that.
Oh, yes, yes. So I'd met this wonderful woman, and she is a physical therapist, and she specializes in neurological side of things, but she's also an avid equestrian, and she hosts clinics. She's just kind of putting herself out there, but she has a podcast called Mane Brain, spelled like horse mane podcast, and she does a really good job and explains a lot of things, both from the physical therapy and the neurological side of things for horse riders. And she has her equisizer, Celeste, and she loves her, takes her out on clinics. And her and I became friendly. And she was like, she asked me if I would do a podcast with her, a segment called Fridays with Frankie. And of course, it sounds corny as hell to me, but it was her idea, so I wasn't going to shoot it down. And it was an opportunity for us to combine what she's an expert at. And again, she's an expert at this stuff. Balance seat. It's all how your body works and your brain and how to be a better rider type stuff. And so we're doing this podcast. It's twice a month, and it's called Fridays with Frankie. And if anybody wanted to check her out, her website is anchoredseat.com, and the podcast is called Mane Brain, and it's really, really good. I recommend people to listen to her shows, and then you can also catch my Fridays with Frankie, which is, you know, I'm trying.
I'm sure you're doing fine, Frankie.
I'm trying.
And of course, equisizer.com is where you can find. We'll put links to that in there too. Thank you, Frankie, for joining us to reminisce a bit.
Thank you. You and Jamie, thank you guys so much for having me. And it's so great to hear your voices and be a part of this. Thank you.
Well, don't be a stranger.
All right. Have me back. I'll try to be insightful.
We can do Wednesdays with Frankie. We do it that way.
I mean, yeah, Fridays is already taken. Yeah, that alliteration is gone.
Something with Sean.
Oh, I like that even
Shoot
better.
With Sean.
Sundays with Sean. And people are like, who the hell is Sean?
Bye, Sean. See ya.
Bye, Sean.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, it was so good to have Frankie on again. I'm loving this segment this year. I'm loving getting people back and learning new things about him, even though we've talked to him 100 times.
It's God, that is so crazy. His name is not even Frankie.
I know that caught you off guard, didn't it? So, you know, I've had ponies and draft horses for years, and there's one thing this horse husband is qualified on, and that's to talk about hoof boots. And I'll tell you why. It's because I've never had shoes on any of my driving horses. We just didn't. I don't know why, but I always had horses that had a little bit of foot issues. And
because you had boots. That's why you didn't need horseshoes.
And I got to tell you, we tried every kind of boot. We tried every kind of hoof boot there was, and I hated them all. I'm sorry for the people who make this boot, but I didn't like the wire one. I did not get along with that one as a horse husband at all. And then finally we tried Cavallo, and we've been using Cavallo boots for almost 25 years now, and I still have a stack of them out there, and Jennifer keeps some too for the bigger horses, she doesn't keep shoes on the bigger horses either. So when she goes out to rough, rocky places, she puts Cavallo boots on. I've driven all my horses. That first pony I had, I drove that pony in Cavallo boots all over Pennsylvania. We went on drives through amusement parks and down city streets and the whole thing. So I've just been using these because they're so easy. You know, this horse husband can put them on. I can barely do a blanket, but I can do these Cavallo boots because they're just so easy. And the nice part too is they make them they fit most horses, right? They have a wide range of horses with hoof shapes and sizes, and they have sizes to fit anything from minis and donkeys and all the way up to size 4. I mean, you use them too. I know you use them because your horses are, you pull the shoes right away when they get off the track.
Well, yeah. So the racehorses, when they come to me, they get their shoes pulled, and some of them the racing plates pulled, and some of them just cannot handle it. So Cavallo boots are awesome. And I do have most of them. The ones I have are 1s and 2s. I do need to go get a size 3 because every once in a while there's a thoroughbred with a 3. But for the most part,
you're getting almost in draft horse sizes there, buddy.
Yeah, 1s and 2s work really well for most horses. So I've been very happy. And they give you a really good way to measure. They give you a lot of instruction on how to measure, make sure you're getting the right one. And you don't have to trim the horse's feet in any special way. So I'm super happy with the Cavallo boots.
And they last a long time, too. That's the other thing. We live in Florida where things like this tend to disintegrate. And you live in Arizona where they tend to just dry up and crack. We have the opposite problem here. And they just last for years. I've had mine for years, and I'm still using them on scooter when we take walks down the rocky lane and stuff like that. It's still just easy, simple to do, and you can go to cavallo-inc.com and go to the how to measure tab, and that'll tell you exactly how to measure your horse's feet. cavallo-inc.com. So last week on the show, last Monday, you weren't here. Lisa was here, but you know Larissa. Larissa is the artist that we've had on over the holidays, and we had her husband on, who was absolutely delightful and charming. And then we had Larissa on in the post show. And then after that, I was on LinkedIn, and I noticed she did a blog post. She writes a blog on her site, and she did a blog post about the interview and about relationships with horse husbands and horse wives. And I just thought, we've been doing horse husband interviews for 15 years, and we've talked about relationships in the horse world more than probably any other topic over the 15 years. Would you agree with that between us and, you know, our guests and everything else? And we've kind of learned some things that we think are true, how you have a successful relationship when you're in our weird little world. And I think she just nailed this. And what I did is asked her to record it, asked her to read it for us, because I wanted everybody to hear it, but especially wanted Jamie to hear it. And I want to talk to you after, okay? So I'm going to play this. It's Larissa.
Good morning, Horses in the Morning listeners. This is Larissa Ray, and I was recently on the Horses in the Morning podcast with my husband, Griffin. I wrote a blog post after the interview with Glenn and Lisa, and Glenn was so kind to ask me to record my blog post for you. Here it goes. What it really means to have a horse husband: support, partnership, and life beyond the barn. My husband, Griffin, was recently interviewed on the Horses in the Morning podcast, where he was asked about being a horse husband. Listening to the conversation made my heart squeeze. It was another quiet reminder of how lucky I am to have someone who supports my lifestyle, even when it occasionally comes with a raised eyebrow or two. A lot of horse girls dream about having a horse husband. It's easy to get wrapped up in wanting our partner to fall in love with the thing that lights us up. Horses are magic, after all, and when something has shaped your entire life, of course you want to share it. But what if there's another way? What if support doesn't look like participation? My husband has absolutely zero interest in riding. None. But he does have an interest in seeing me happy, and that counts for so much more. He is beyond supportive, and I think my gratitude for that has created space where he gets to be involved with horses on his terms, not mine. And because I'm not pressuring him to participate, it feels genuinely special when he chooses to come to the barn with me. Instead of resentment on either side, it's just fun. And he gets to discover a little bit of that horse magic on his own. I think we horse girls sometimes forget that discovery is part of the magic. We want to gift our partners this incredible experience, but they can't jump in where we are. It takes so much time to understand horses. And for those of us who have loved them our whole lives, we might not remember how long that process really takes. And does it ever really end? I had a mindset shift that changed everything for me. My husband and I are lucky to have figured out what works for us. And talking with Jamie and Glenn after the show got me thinking more deeply about why it works. I think a lot of it comes down to our mindset. I sat down and did some writing to clarify my thoughts, and this is what I came up with. Support doesn't always mean you agree. It doesn't mean you have to do things together, and support doesn't mean you have to like the same things. Sometimes support simply means, I see you. I care about what matters to you, and I am here. It's the takeout waiting for you at home so that you could ride your horse after work. The morning latte delivered to the horse show where you were grooming all morning. It's the patient head nods because they're going to listen to you talk about transitions or some other horsey thing that they absolutely do not understand. Love shows up in little ways, and we have to remember to look for them. Relationships and horses have taught me some of the same core lessons. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that building a relationship with a partner isn't all that different from building a relationship with a horse. Now, I mess this part up all the time, but I think that trying helps make me better for the people and the animals that I love. Here are the reminders that I am trying to keep close. Reward the tries, celebrate the small victories, and pay attention, not just when things are going wrong. Look for what lights them up, and if something isn't working, get curious instead of angry. Seek understanding, not control. There does not need to be a winner and a loser. Set boundaries, but set them with kindness. Respect their boundaries, and if you don't understand them, get curious instead of frustrated. Learn to manage your own negative emotions. Understand your shortcomings and plan around them. Take responsibility not just for your actions, but for your reactions. Make time for connection. Love them in little ways, consistently. Be someone worthy of their trust, and look for opportunities to express your gratitude. Now, my conversation with Glenn and Lisa is never really about horses or even about having a horse husband. In the end, it was about partnership. It was about patience and about choosing support that allows both people in a relationship to be fully themselves. And for that, I am endlessly grateful.
There you go. What do you think?
I think that hearing this, all I did was turn it around in my head. I've been married long enough to know that all those things are important. But what I hear is that me as a woman, I have to reciprocate. And I do. My husband has a passion for golf. And he comes home and he talks about golf. And I'm like, this must be what it's like when I have a ride and I come and tell him about my ride. Because he'll be like, I figured out my swing. I got this going. I did this and did this. And I'm all like, I've heard that. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I've heard this so many times. And I just sit there and listen. It doesn't cost me anything to sit there and listen. And he listens to me. And if he doesn't, I call him on it. So I'm like, hey, I listened to you talk about your stupid golf hole number 14. So I think the thing is, she's got it really good and to point out what there is. But what I took out of that was the reciprocal end of it. And that I think is probably the place that I and most of us need to think about.
And you know, too, what we've learned over the years is the couples where the woman, the horsewoman in this case, really wanted, they were almost forcing the boyfriend or the husband to do it. They didn't work out. They didn't stay together. You can't do that. You know, she nailed that part of it too. You gotta meet them where they are. And yeah. Then you find after you and I have been married a long time, after you do that, you do find a comfortable place, right? There's a place in there. And what she said too, and this rang true with me. What she said too about, look, I don't force him to do it, but then when he does show up, it's because he wants to and it means so much more.
Yeah.
That really hit me. And then the other thing, the parallels at the end there, the end there, those points she was making at the end, the bullet points, that's Monty Roberts in Dealing with Horses. She was talking about a relationship with your husband, but it could have been a relationship with your horse. I mean, they just were identical.
Yeah.
You know, as far as patience and all that stuff she said at the end there, I just thought she wrote it brilliantly. And it kind of sums up everything that we've learned over 15 years of doing this. And in my case, 35 years of being married. So.
Oh God, you're so old. That's what I'm getting.
So thank you, Larissa, for agreeing to read that. I think everybody will get, it's funny. We had two different things we got out of it because we're coming from two different places, right? So, yeah. but I think everybody will get something out of it that listened to it. We hope cool. You do. All right. Let's do some equestrian first world problems. What do you say?
I've got them. They're ready.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems. This ought to be good.
Hasn't been played in a while. What's going, me? You really want me?
Is it my turn? So this is the time where we put on our auditor's Facebook page, share with us your equestrian first world problems. And as you recall, if you have an equestrian problem, it is first world. That's just the way that we are living, people. But if you want to participate in the segment that we now do once a month, how can they become an auditor, Glenn?
Just head on over to horseradionetwork.com. Scroll down to the middle of the page. You'll see a little auditor banner there. Click on that, and you too can become an auditor for as little as $3 a month. And we use patreon.com for that.
Remember, you can be a part of the distracting banter.
That's correct.
That one really stuck with me. Sorry.
It's so true. That's why it's hit home.
Distracting for what? That's what we do. We sit here and talk while you're trying to, I don't know, muck stalls.
We have had those people that are really interested in the science, you know, and the serious science talk. They do not like our show, and that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. You can find another. I just find it funny that, like, I'm trying to think, like, what people are doing while they're listening right now. Actually, I would love to put up a post and find out what people are doing when they're hearing this right now, because I think it's mucking stalls, driving in traffic. I listen to podcasts when I'm trying to go to sleep. So if I'm putting you to sleep right now, wake up! Anyway, those things.
Wait, here, let me help with that. Wake up.
We're such jerks. It's distracting banter. That's what it is. All right. First, we're going to start with Caitlin, because I just love her. So this is great. She said, I had to tell my husband how much I made this past year at work, since the new overtime deduction requires us to file jointly. And now he really knows what I spend on horses. Oh, God.
What struck me about that one was they weren't filing jointly, because she was trying to hide all that stuff.
Hell yeah, you know, girl. No, the way that we work is we have, like, our main account, and then I have my horse business account, and then I have this other account. We don't talk about that one. Leave me alone. Julie says, I drove the 25 minutes to Tractor Supply, 25 minutes to Tractor Supply to stock up on all the things. Feed, bedding, supplements. I'm assuming she'd be like, had it all in the cart and everything. And then she said, realized I left my purse at home.
Oh, that sucks.
Gwen said, I was looking at the local show schedules for the year, and my favorite show of the year is going to happen when I'm out of town on vacation and life is so unfair. Jenny said, I needed to pick up straw today, and I drove by my dealer. Who's like a dealer, like my drug dealer. I drove on my dealer 8 times in one day, but I couldn't stop because I was driving my school bus. Stop and get the straw. Be like, kids, scoot over.
Yeah, how much straw could you put in a school bus? That's a lot.
I mean, kids, all of you on the left, we're putting all the straw on the right. I think, Jenny, what? When you needed support. Hillary says the owner of the local tack shop is now boarding at my barn. Saving money in 2026 is out the window. This is Patty, who lives down the street from me, and bless her heart, I haven't seen her in a while, and it's all because of this. Patty says, well, I keep having to repeat myself. It's all going to be better soon. Right now, I can hardly find time to ride, go to a show, go to a clinic, because I spend all of my time working towards opening my new 80-acre equestrian facility we just purchased.
And whose fault was that, Patty? Well, I was at Patty's farm when we visited you. She had a perfectly lovely farm, but everybody wants the other farm.
Yeah, because this one has an indoor. That is how desperate we will be to get an indoor. It's perfect.
Speaking of which, is your roof on yet?
The indoor covered round pen, yes, that I'm having constructed? No. Okay. They poured the concrete and it takes a week to set.
Oh, okay.
So we're still dealing with that. And I've still got down paddocks and I've got construction everywhere. Oh, I see another guy coming in right now, because of course, Chad's like, we need this done too. Okay. Hannah says, we have had the most mild winter in Idaho since we moved here. And I could still be riding, but I'm 8 months pregnant and I can't.
That never stopped Jamie.
I wish it would have, but it didn't. Margaret says,
congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's going to be awesome. Once you have the baby, you'll have so much more time to do stuff.
Yes.
Margaret says, finally had a warm day so we could ride comfortably. But of course, the warm weather means all the snow is sliding off the roof of the indoor. So I had to cut my ride short.
We were walking. We had a big bank barn and a big roof in Pennsylvania. And Jennifer was walking out the one day with one of the thoroughbreds when the snow came off and hit them both. She had just walked out the door and it came off and hit them both. The thoroughbred took off. She fortunately let go, but she was kind of buried.
Oh my gosh.
It could have been worse.
Oh, poor indoor Rena. Summer says, someone came in and cleaned up my barn and scrubbed on the sinks, but now I can see all the dirt I track in. Oh, what magical fairy came in and cleaned your barn?
Yes.
I would like your number. Holly says, my husband decided to start the new year by building me a new, bigger tech shed. Yay! But while it was under construction, I had to carry my tech and my saddle 100 feet both ways. Oh, Holly, you're terrible. Lucky to be alive.
Terrible.
And finally, the last one is poor Brandy. We have a theme today. Brandy says, the heat in our indoor is working so well that we have to strip down to t-shirts to ride comfortably. Brandy kind of says she's in Michigan. You're either a hey you or you're soon to be my new best friend. I can't decide.
It's not like she's in a warm climate either. Thank you all for your first world problems. We do appreciate it. We know a lot of you have problems revolving around the weather. We tend not to cover those because we're all in the same boat. So
yeah.
Hey, so as far as the rest of the...
I'm not in the same boat with snow sliding off my indoor.
No, not yet. So we're going to have a full week of shows for you this week. Tomorrow's Endurance. And then Wednesday and Friday, Jamie and Ashley will be here. I'll be off at PodFest doing my talks and hanging out with my podcasting buddies in Orlando. And then Thursday, we'll have the Equine Affair episode for you as well. So we have a full week of shows. And I know you and Ashley are going to have a lot of fun. You guys always have fun together. So have some fun. No post-show today. Jamie has to head out. The farrier's coming.
He's near. I got to go.
Okay. Thank you all. You have a terrific week.
All right, spay, neuter, geld, everybody. There it is.
Slow today.
Enough of it distracting me. I'm out of here.